knees and start sucking dick, boy! It's time for the SML Podcast!
That is why you never want to go bareback doggy style with a werewolf.
Jesus Christ. On that note, what's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Joining me as usual, Cole Martin. How are you?
I'm fine. I was just, you know, contemplating which books I'm behind in my vampire porn series.
That would be the odds? What are the odds? We chat for 20 minutes before the recording starts. No dogs. As soon as it starts, dogs. Also joining us, Ian Griffin. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm hating winter right about now. We should get the fuck out.
Oh, yeah. You guys got snow in New York again.
Yeah.
How much?
Just enough to cover the ground and piss everyone off.
Which is, you know, way too much for April.
Yeah. And, you know, there's always that potential for black ice because it's kind of melting, but it's kind of not. And it kind of is, and it kind of freezes again. So, yeah, just enough to piss everyone off.
Oh, man. So, Cole, you mentioned books. What books are you reading? What do you want to talk about?
Vampire porn?
Oh, Jesus.
That's what my husband says. Like, if I leave my books on the bookcase in the living room, he'll be like, honey, you should probably put your vampire porn away. He won't let me leave them. Like, apparently they're not suitable coffee table books or some shit like that. Like, okay. My art books with naked figure drawings are fine, but the vampire porn has to go.
Yeah, and like all my books with naked stick figure drawings are all considered obscene.
I want to suck your cock. One cock in the ass. Two cocks in the ass.
Yeah, I just whirled right out there.
Yeah. So, these vampire books, tell me about them.
They're the Black Dagger Brotherhood, and they are written by J.R. Ward, who is actually an author that is local to my area. And I got to meet her like 3 weeks after I popped out number two. My poor husband had to stand at a romance convention holding a baby, like begging people to leave him alone. Well, I got my book signed.
Oh, poor bastard.
But it's a very complicated universe that's not at all like Twilight. Please don't draw any comparison.
Too late.
Yeah.
I've already judged you. I have
a better love story than Twilight, even if it's not a love story. It's still like, better than the love story in Twilight.
Oh, it's a vampire series. People are already judging you.
Oh, yeah. I judged you long before the recording even started.
I mean, I would hope you did.
Yeah.
You know, but it's basically they're kick-ass vampires that wear, you know, trench coats and shit kickers for boots, and they say phrases like "fuck you very much" all the time, and the author's just incredibly good at building up this insane world where, you know, it's the vampires trying to keep themselves secluded from humans while fighting a war with what's called the Lessening Society, which is like these undead baby powder smelling motherfuckers that just want to, you know, kill all the vampires. There's like this really rich lore to it with, you know, they pray to their god, the Scribe Virgin, and then there's the Omega who's responsible for the Lessening Society, and it's just this all out kick-ass war that just occasionally has vampire sex scenes.
Can I just throw this out there that I really, really wish we had an interview today?
This is what happens when you let me go off on my own.
So instead of that, let's chat some video game news, because there was some news this week.
If we don't have any news about anything concerning Castlevania, this will be the worst segue ever.
I wanted to avoid that. A new Castlevania was announced, a mobile game. So, there you go, your Castlevania news.
Yeah.
Important news. Some important news. The Xbox backward compatibility lineup had a huge addition this week. We covered it last week with some of the titles that were coming over from the original Xbox console, now playable on Xbox One. But the first batch is here today. We got a nice lineup as well. Blinks the Time Sweeper, Breakdown, Conquer Live and Reloaded, The Elder Scrolls III Morrowind, Hunter the Reckoning, which could fit in with the whole vampire thing, Jade Empire, Panzer Dragoon Orta, and SSX 3.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Games.
Yeah. Jade Empire was a fantastic game. I loved the shit out of that. That was one of the first few games I went out of my way to 100% the shit out of. Like, everything and anything that you could do in that game, I wanted to do it. You know, back when BioWare was not quite super famous yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I always suggest it. I mean, if you enjoy, like, the old school BioWare series, you know, like, if you, let's see, was it, what the hell were the, Knights of the Old Republic? Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yep.
Yeah. Totally brain fart on that. But Knights of the Old Republic, Knights of the Old Republic 2, even, you know, Mass Effect and stuff like that, Jade Empire is I definitely recommend it if you're into those games at all. I mean, just the setting, the graphics, even for its time, it was just delicious. I mean, it was a very, very excellent game. The story is extremely on point, and it was just a fantastic game. Like, if I remember correctly, Joe, when I visited you once, I just played through it just to show you the game.
Probably. Although you didn't show it to me because I played it way, way back on the original Xbox when it first came out. I actually had the special edition of the game with the extra character, and I'm sad to say that apparently the extra character does not work on the Xbox One because whatever DLC there was, because it was installed from a second disc, there's no way to make it work.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I was hoping that they would include it somehow, but what are you going to do?
Well, I mean, it's basically, if memory serves, like, just an extra character model and, like,
it was a whole new fighting style as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, I don't even remember that.
I don't remember at all what it was, because that was, you know, 15 years ago, but...
Yeah, you know your old one.
It was still awesome. Cole, did you get any of the games?
No, I did not get any of them. I don't have the nostalgia for the OG Xbox games that everybody else does. I think I've told the story before about we had one that we bought off of eBay for like a week, and my husband turned around and sold it before I even got to touch the controller. So I didn't like play any of the original Xbox games. I have no, like, I see them and I just go, oh, okay. And then I have no urge to play them at all. And I'm probably missing out on some good ones, but I'm just like,
yeah, first thing I did on Tuesday when they went live and I got home and they were ready to install Panzer Dragoon Orta, and it still looks and plays beautifully. DDA in chat was saying that he'll care about the OG back compat games if they ever get achievements. I don't know if it'll happen, but I would love to see it happen. I think that'd be really neat. I know the PS2 classics on PS4, those have trophies in them, but a lot of that is because they're re-released games. They're not just games you already own.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what kind of technical undertaking there would be to add achievements to these kind of games. What achievements would you want to see for these? Would you be okay with, like, play the game, get to this part of the game, beat the game, spend this much time on a game? Because they probably, if they were to add achievements, I don't think they'd be able to do stuff like kill 75 enemies with decapitations or stuff like that. I don't think they'd be able to get very specific.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would kind of come down to the game and, you know, what you could do within that framework without getting too obviously specific about things. I mean,
I just think it would be too much to go in. Like, I think it's kind of a pain in the ass just for them to even get them working, let alone go in and actually add anything to them.
Yeah, from I honestly would, have.
Oh, sorry. Okay. God damn it, don't interrupt me.
I was interrupting. I was the dick. I'm sorry. My bad.
And now I feel bad. You're the only one that's ever actually apologized. Shit.
I've apologized to you. Don't give me that bullshit.
Oh, I never heard it.
New drinking game. Take a shot whenever Joe interrupts anyone.
Don't be you wouldn't have a liver if Carnage was here.
So this is all about me. You know what? Fuck this. I'm leaving. Fuck all of this.
I gotta say, if you think him and Carnage is bad, back in the day when it was him and Chris.
Oh yeah, Chris has done it to me too.
Oh man, there were some times where it was like difficult just to get a word in edgewise. But mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why, like, y'all,
I don't have keys. I didn't bring my keys, so I'm still here. Anyway, some other news. Three games are going to be leaving Xbox Game Pass at the end of the month. The first one is Lumo, which is a cute little platform. If no one's played it, you should check that out before it's gone. And then NBA and WWE 2K17 are both leaving.
Then I expect that their successors will be joining.
I hope so. It seems very weird because the 2K16 for both games were in Game Pass when it launched, and then they left in January for the 17s, and now the 17s are already leaving.
It's very rapid fire if they're not going to be replaced. It's odd.
I know. Only, what, 3-4 months in Game Pass? That kind of worries me.
It's sports. I'm okay.
As long as it's not Call of Duty, right?
We'll have something to replace it soon, because, I mean, all the sport franchises are always pumping out games, like, it feels like every other month, so I'm sure they'll put something in there.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. Hopefully, it would be nice if they keep at least the newest-ish version on there, because, you know... But yeah. Basketball, that should be getting a new iteration soon. Wrestling, that'll probably be in a couple of months as well. I don't know.
Let them go. I'm not paying for sports balls.
Yeah. Well, Wrassles isn't sports ball. That's Wrassles.
It's a sport and there are balls involved. It is sports ball.
Well, she does
yeah.
have a point.
AJ Styles can confirm that balls are involved in wrestling lately. But, As long as it's not a Call of Duty leave in the game, right, Eternal? Because then you would care.
I don't know. Is it Infinite Warfare? That one can fuck off.
I'm just trying to find a way to segue to the Call of Duty Black Ops 4 rumors that have been going around. Have you heard these?
I have. I'm not impressed.
Yeah, first rumor, and it has allegedly been confirmed by a reporter who is in the know, has said that Call of Duty Black Ops 4 will not have a single player campaign.
Right.
Rabble, 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 rabble.
What the fuck?
I have theories here. Do you want to hear my... Do you, like, get you a tinfoil hat?
Well, should we go through the other rumors before your theories?
Maybe. Go ahead.
The second rumor is that it will instead have a Battle Royale mode, because everybody needs to have a fucking Battle Royale mode now. And then the third rumor is that the multiplayer is going to be more like Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
So they're trying to jump on the hero shooter bandwagon, huh?
Hero shooter and battle royale bandwagon, I guess. Yeah. So what is your theory, Paul?
Okay, so the rumor was that the campaign got scrapped because Activision wouldn't sign off on it. And Treyarch didn't have time to make a new one. So apparently it was too crazy and too out there. If you played through the end of Black Ops 3, which I know you did not.
No. Good guess. Very good guess. The
ending of that got really squirrely. Like, it was very super futuristic and just very much into sci-fi territory as opposed to any kind of realistic military basis anymore. And my guess is that Infinite Warfare was basically shit on for being too futuristic. And if Black Ops 4 was following that same path and was just going to keep on the same path as Black Ops 3 did with the crazy timelines and the futuristic, you know, cyborgs going crazy bullshit, that it was, spoiler alert, by the way, that, you know, there's no wonder they just threw their hands up and were like, fuck no, we're not signing this one. You know, it wouldn't surprise me at all that it was just going to go too far off the rails that even Activision couldn't get behind it anymore. Black Ops has always kind of been taking that path.
DDA in chat saying, Call of Duty board meeting, let's just half-ass all the popular multiplayer game types while abandoning good storytelling altogether. High fives all around. Which sounds depressingly accurate.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that either. We saw Black Ops 3 had the they were basically like the heroes. They were like some kind of hybrid of create a class and the hero system, where you had a character who had a certain personality and had a special ability and a special meter filled up over the game, and in addition to the score streaks and stuff. Black Ops 3 just flew off the rails very, very much so, for even by Call of Duty standards. And so to see somebody say, oh, and Black Ops in and of itself has always been a much more colorful shooter than, you know, the Modern Warfare series, which was more gritty and based in reality. When Black Ops 2 came out too, the funny thing is they made like this big ordeal in the marketing for it that, oh, all of the technology that you see is stuff that's actually being developed for use now. They didn't have that kind of marketing for Black Ops 3, and we won't see that shit for Black Ops 4 because they've just flown off the deep end as far as blending sci-fi into it goes.
Yeah.
So I'm not at all surprised. The Battle Royale one rumor, I have mixed emotions on. Like, I could see it. It wouldn't surprise me. But I think it's shitty. Like, as soon as I hear, oh, we're creating a Battle Royale mode, I'm like, fuck off. Yeah. I don't want any more Battle Royale. You know, it's just...
No, well, I mean,
Fortnite for creating that habit. Like, everybody has to have Battle Royale now.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a tricky thing. I mean, if looking at it from a business perspective, the Battle Royale market is... Yeah, I'm trying to think, because there's a lot of people trying to get into it, and what the fuck was it? PUBG really kicked open the door, and for a while that was like pretty much the quintessential go-to for like a definitive battle royale game that wasn't like a modded version of like H1Z1 or what the hell was it, Arma, and there's a third one, I forgot what it was, but you know, Fortnite, you know, God, they. If PUBG opened the door, Fortnite pretty much burned down the fucking house. And in a way, like, you know, from a business perspective, I'm not going to blame Epic Games for jumping on a gravy train that hadn't quite left the station yet.
No.
But, you know, I mean, basically they jumped on that train and they installed nitrous tanks and away it went.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, from a business perspective, and honestly, the Battle Royale for Fortnite pretty much saved the game. I mean, because the co-op version was nowhere. Yeah, the co-op version was all that in a bag of chips for its proverbial 15 minutes of fame, and then it like just kind of dropped off the face of the planet, and then all of a sudden they came out with the Battle Royale, and I don't even think the developers had anticipated the ridiculous reception that it received. And all of a sudden it just turns into, you know, like, you know, whenever you hear Arena, I mean, it's all about PUBG and Fortnite. I mean, they're like League of Legends and Dota, you know? I mean, it's peanut butter and jelly. You can't have... Yeah. And, you know, everyone else is seeing how much they're cashing in, and, you know, their business models are pretty, well, the business model for Fortnite's pretty solid. I mean, it's not pay to win, thank God. But, you know, and everyone's seeing how much cash they're fucking banking off on this. So obviously everyone's going to try to get a piece of that pie, and it's going to, you know, it turns into the latest trend. So it doesn't surprise me at all that people are trying to jump in on that gravy train. It seems a little, I don't know if I want to say desperate. But
the fact that they're
trying to go for an Overwatch mode, and they're going for a PUBG Fortnite mode, and fuck the single player campaign, it does seem like they're kind of trying to scramble to stick their fingers in pies that aren't really going to have a lot left for them.
Stick your finger in the pie.
But you know, you get what I mean. I mean, it seems like a weak move. And, you know, from a business perspective, I can understand why they're making it, but it does make them seem, I don't know, lame. Like, oh, we want in on the action, too.
It just makes them feel like copycats. It's like, this is the popular thing. Let's do it. And then after, I don't know, it feels like that's what Activision likes to do. They like to find something that's working and then ram it into the ground as hard as possible. And Guitar Hero is a nice casualty of that problem.
Yeah. And unfortunately, they're always fashionably late to the party.
Yeah.
Because by the time they finally get on the gravy train, everyone's kind of already, you know, off that trend hype. And it's simmered down to the point where anything else that comes afterwards is either looked upon as a quote-unquote knockoff or just straight-up derivative.
And the reality is that no matter what kind of essentially knockoff of Fortnite or PUBG or whatever, Battle Royale, that Call of Duty puts into their game, it's not going to garner the same kind of fanfare because that train has left the station.
Yep.
It's gone. They drove it off a cliff and exploded it into
Back to the Future 3. It just went into hover mode and choo-chooed into the future.
Yeah. Like that bitch is boogie bombing its way into oblivion at this point. But it doesn't stop them from beating the dead horse.
Because you got it, like, and that's the thing, like, Fortnite really had the perfect timing and the like, they unknowingly struck while the iron was perfectly hot. And like you said, now that they've rocketed off from the train station, it's pretty much going to be like, you know, every you know, back in the day, or even now, every MMO that comes out is going to be compared to Warcraft. World of Warcraft. It's like, oh, man, it's not like World of Warcraft. Stop comparing it to World of Warcraft. I mean, that hype train simmered down a long-ass fucking time ago, yet people still compare it to World of Warcraft.
There's still not many other MMOs that are going strong. So that's why you go with the big one. I mean, people could say, oh, well, it's no Final Fantasy XIV, but let's be fair, Final Fantasy XIV is no World of Warcraft.
Yeah. And, you know, you're almost comparing apples to oranges, too, because, you know, World of Warcraft has been out for since 2000, hasn't it? I mean, it's been out for 18 years, give or take, somewhere around that ballpark. Because I remember it first started up when I was in college, and because all my fucking roommates were fucking playing it. It's like, oh, you should play World of Warcraft. It's like, I'm a poor ass college student. I can't afford $15 a month. No.
I thought there was more to that story.
No. But I'm just saying, just as emphasis as to how long World of Warcraft came out, I mean, it's, you know, and I'm not saying it's a bad game or anything like that, and I'm not saying it's undeserving of the attention or the path that it has paved for just the MMO genre in general. But yeah, I mean,
oh well, we do have more news. This is pretty cool news. The game A Way Out. Remember the co-op action adventure. That's pretty much co-op only. It has already sold 1 million copies.
Wow.
So yeah, that one seems to have taken off pretty well. And I'm guessing that's actually sold copies and not how they have the free trial version that you're able to partner up with someone who owns the game without buying it yourself, which I think is another really, really cool thing.
Yeah. That way you can actually try it out. And if you enjoy it, then yeah, you can buy it.
Yeah. It seems like it worked out in getting people interested in the game and getting sales, because 1 million copies for what's kind of technically an indie game. I know it's an EA game, but it's more of an indie level game. I think that's pretty awesome.
They're not fully tainted.
Taint. And then the last bit of news I have is that it was announced Shenmue 1 and 2 are getting re-released as a package for Xbox One, PC, and PS4 to the delight of Shenmue fans everywhere. Not shocking in the least at all is that in Japan, it will be a PS4 exclusive. So at least Sega of America is throwing us a bone here.
I know nothing about Shenmue.
Nothing at all?
Nothing. Except for people holler that, you know, it's fantasticals. And
breaking my balls. Breaking my balls here, Cole.
Yeah. It's I believe the proper term is wrestling.
Wrestles. I like my wrestles. But, it's nice to see Sega giving Xbox some love in America. How about some goddamn Yakuza next? If there's any Sega franchise that would probably do really, really well on Xbox, it's got to be the Yakuza series.
I did not realize that the Yakuza, I thought that was like Sony.
No, it's Sega.
And that was that. Hmm. Wow. I didn't know that. I learned a thing today.
I got the Yakuza Collector's Edition, the Yakuza 6 Collector's Edition that came with a set of glasses, like dishware glasses. So you could pour scotch in it, and it comes with coasters. And
I get
weird shit.
Yes, you do.
But that's all the news I got. Any other news that y'alls want to talk about?
No.
No,
I'll take that as a no. So instead, we are going to move on. We got ourselves a contest to take care of. Yay. We asked you on Twitter to email us and tell us why you would want the game Enigmatis 3, The Shadow of Karkala on Xbox One. And we got 5 people to email us and tell us why they wanted the game.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the hard part. We only got 3 codes, so we got to pick ourselves some winners.
I was about to say that, were you going to pull that, rabbit out of your hat where you're like, we got 5 entries, and then you're going to make me sit here and make notes on all of them with my broken fucking thumb, and then be
I will
like,
totally take notes.
My thumb's broken. Where? My thumb. I have a boo-boo.
I am wounded.
I'm just waiting for you to be like, listen, motherfuckers, don't you talk shit about me.
I will come and break your thumbs. I won't. I can't even grip a pencil, so it's okay.
So I figured 3 copies, 3 of us here, we could each pick ourselves a winner. How's that sound?
Cool.
My throat is so shitty today, and I don't know why. But
what game is this that we're... Wait,
we have questions, Joe. People want to know if they can email in late.
No, because I'm doing the entries now.
What was the game that's being given away as a prize?
The game is Enigmatis 3, The Shadows of Karkala on Xbox One. It is one of those hidden object point-and-click adventure games.
Oh, okay.
So good. Gotcha.
Yeah. I don't know, Swizzlers, if you get it in before I finish all the entries, I guess I can't really do anything about it. So, because I'm working from the bottom up. So, first email comes from Shocker on this one. Dark Mika is on fire. Who says, okay, come on, everyone knew I was going to try entering on this one. I'm so obsessed with the goddamn games, and it's your fault. I've spent easily over $100 on these games in just the past year, and it's entirely your fault. So by God, if there's any chance I could get one for the amazing price of free, I'm going to take it. As for why I should get it, honestly, I just love the games and I'd like to have it. I don't have any big, amazing, funny reason. Since I lack an interesting reasoning or anything, here's 2 amusing songs that I really like that you might as well. Neither are kid-friendly, but nor is anything on this fucking podcast. Let's see, what is the first one? I'm probably not going to actually play them, but I'll at least see what they are.
Yeah, what songs are they?
First one is... Come on, load a little quicker.
Yeah, because you don't want to get the muted on...
Okay, it plays anyway. Tim Minchin, Pope fuck Song. Now, the what the fuck? How many times do I have to stop this and it keeps playing anyway? Son of a bitch.
You just got trolled, buddy.
So, Tim Minchin and then Tenacious D. I'm guessing Beezle Boss. Yeah, good songs.
Definitely
good songs. Good shit. Now, fuck off, Joe. Get me my game. There, someone finally told you to fuck off on your show. Something you've wanted for a while. You're a bit of a masochist, aren't you? Yeah, really? Smidge.
Wait. This is the first time someone's told you to fuck off on your show?
No, I'm sure people have said it before.
I was going to say, after how many episodes?
I'm 98.74% sure I've said it.
Probably.
And I say it so often that I don't even know if I'm on the show when I say it. I don't even pay attention.
Probably.
It's just, yeah. Okay.
I know there's been interruptions, and I've just been like, fuck off, no, it's my turn.
Well, fuck off, we have another email. Next one is from Jack, who says, I could use the game to take a break from playing the more heavyweight games like Skyrim and Assassin's Creed Syndicate. A nice, quiet, and beautiful game like Enigmatis 3 would be perfect for the job. Keep on with your work, and thanks for all the giveaways, Jack. So, kind of like wants a breather from the heavy stuff. The heavy shit.
The heavy shit.
Next email is from Anton Kostin, who says, hi, me and my wife, who's playing it with me, want to know how this great trilogy is going to end. So wants to end the trilogy. That's a good reason to want a game.
Did his wife play all of the others with him too? Or I have questions.
Well, I don't have answers. I have emails. And we have to make decisions based on the information we are provided. That is the work we have to do. Next email from Aroto Demeto, who says, do you have to let it linger? Well, shit, I played the first and second games. I got to check this one out too, right? I love trilogies. Gives you a sense of going through a journey. It's fun. Hopefully it avoids the Hollywood problem where the third movie in a trilogy is always about two armies running towards each other in a huge field. Kind of tired of it. If you don't believe me, go check out the trailers for the third movie of a random movie franchise. Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, Avengers, and many others I can't think of right now. It's nuts. But Enigmatis is dope, and I think they'll avoid that problem. P.S. Lately, I've been playing a lot of games in the bathroom. I bring my notebook with me and spend at least an hour sitting there taking a shit and playing Team Fortress 2 or something. I hear it's not great for your asshole because all the blood goes to that region and hemorrhoids can happen. What's your opinion? Do you take quick shits? Let me know.
Well, the key is not to push, but to release. And also, salt raging while playing computer games while taking a shit probably doesn't help. The more relaxed you are, the better off you'll be.
That's good advice. It really is. I know that you're not supposed to push, and even better if you have like one of those benches that you put near the toilet so that your knees are up instead of in a seated position. You're supposed to be in a squatted position.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because people make fun of that, but it actually, not that I use one because I don't, but for people that have like ergonomic problems relieving themselves, that actually does help legit. I mean, it's not just some dorky as seen on TV fad kind of thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess the answer is I take kind of long ones. I like to go in and just take my time in there. Usually the cats will be in there with me and they'll play around with Q-tips, or I'll turn the water in the sink on and they'll jump up there. And then I'll just like jump on Reddit or play a game on my phone. What about you, Ian?
Usually it depends on what I've eaten. But yeah, I mean, I usually, take it easy, just relax and just take my time and let it happen. Just let it happen.
Cool. What about you, Cole?
I hide from my kids in the bathroom. Like, if there's junk food I want to eat and I don't want to share, I got to go to the bathroom. And so sometimes I'm in there longer than I should be, even though I'm not doing anything except for eating fudge rounds.
Well, if anyone starts complaining, just use the catch-all excuse, lady problems.
Yep.
Hey, that works.
Because no one wants to have anything to do with that.
Well, that's the problem in my house, though. Like, it's all girls and then my husband.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's not even fazed by the phrase.
Yeah, I was going to say that in the household.
He's just like, women, then, that's a thing. Yeah. And it exists, and his life is basically pink glitter and menstrual pads at this point.
Oh, geez. I was gonna say, with three daughters, that's you become acclimated disturbingly fast, whether you like it or not.
Yep.
Oh man. Anyway, next email is from John Prudlow, who says, "You know that moment when you solve a puzzle in the game and you trigger some event or progression in the story? I love that moment, especially in hidden object puzzle games where you can challenge yourself and your eyesight with the puzzle, or you could just say fuck it and start clicking around until something happens and you begin to figure it out. I own a few Artifacts Mundi games and love them. I'd love to own a few more, including Enigmatis 3, so that I can know what it means to have a plethora. Thank you for your consideration."
Somebody saw my tweet! Who was that again?
John Prudlow, fan of all things gaming. And let's see. Let's check my inbox one last time. Oh, look, something from Michael Barodi, who says, "Hey, I am not funny. I just email in late. I show up late, so I don't deserve to win. Game sounds complicated. Will it work like Minecraft?" From Swizzlers. So those are our entries. We have 6 entries, 3 prizes. We each get to pick one, and I'm going with the Roto. He's insane or they're insane, and I can't help but always gravitate to it. Like, he asked us how we shit to win a game. So my crazy ass has to go with his crazy ass.
Yeah, he was going to be my choice just because of his remarkable movie savviness, and he's absolutely right. Like, usually when it comes to action films and stuff like that, the third film always has like two armies charging at each other. And he's right. Just look up a trailer, and there at some point there will be one side charging at another side. Even fucking Twilight.
So there's five more entries, and you each get to pick one. Dark Mika said, fuck off, Joe. Jack wants a breather from the heavy shit. Anton wants to end the trilogy with his wife. John wants a plethora of artifacts games, and Swizzlers was late and wants Minecraft. Cole, Ian, any winners from you?
I'm struggling. I have three, so I'm go ahead, Ian, so I can narrow it down.
I'll give my vote to John.
With the plethora?
Yes. Because, he sounds like a sort of guy that really digs that sort of thing. He sounds like the sort of guy who probably played Myst in the day, or would have if he was alive. I don't know how old he is. But he sounds like the sort of guy that knows the pleasures and pains of playing a point-and-click puzzle game.
Nice. Well, Cole, it all comes down to you. One more copy of the game, four entries. Who gets it?
Okay. So John was my other one that I was hinged on, because plethora.
You say plethora.
I can't help myself. at this point, I'm going to go with Mika. It's kind of my fault she sucked on these fuckers anyway. So we should give her one.
All right. Because Dark Mika's in chat and threatening to riot.
Also, she missed my tweet where I was like, bonus points if you say plethora.
Well, no, she said, bitch, I saw your tweet, but you tweeted it after I emailed.
Yeah.
So you just gave a copy of the game to the one who called you a bitch.
I am, like, I'm all about honesty and advertising, though.
True. So, Aroto, John, and Dark Mika, congrats on your wins. You will each get a copy of the game. Everyone else, thank you so much for the entries. You didn't win this time, but you know we are always doing giveaways on the show. Make sure to keep up with us on the Twitters, because every week we're giving shit away. And this week we're giving away a copy of the game Fee from EA and Zoink Games. And if you don't have it, you should have it. So enter that contest. Sound good, right?
Sounds good.
All good? All good?
Win stuff.
Mm-hmm. Y'all ready to do reviews?
No.
I mean, kind of.
Well, if you want to send me a review, I suppose I could do one.
I mean, we might as well then. So let's jump into these. All right. Anyway, first game to talk about tonight is called Masters of Anima, developed by Past Tech Games, published by Focus Home Interactive, released April 10th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $19.99. Go to the aid of your future bride using the powers of Anima to summon an army of magical guardians in your quest to defeat Tsar's dreaded golems. As your victories rack up, acquire new powers and abilities for both yourself and your guardians to become a true master of Anima. Checking this one out, we're starting with a guest, Jacob Garner. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How about you, Joe?
No, I'm doing all right. You're only going to ask me? What about the other people here, you dick?
Hey, everyone else. How are you all?
I'm not here.
Yes, you are.
Oh.
God damn it, we're going for continuity.
I was doing fine until I was blatantly ignored.
Yeah.
Even I listened to Joe for once.
I don't know how to listen. It's in my genes.
I know. So, Jacob, what the hell is Masters of Anima?
So, it's this, like, action RPG thing with, I'd say, like, slight real-time strategy elements to it. And you're pretty much running around this mythical world, and you have these magic powers where you can summon these soldiers to do your bidding for you. And they're made out of, like, pure energy. And then you have them go fight stuff, move stuff. You just keep getting more powers, and you defeat bigger villains, and you've got puzzles to solve. And there's more to it than that, but it's just like, I know I just gave a pretty simple description, but that's pretty much what it is.
Is there a story to it that you could tell us about?
Yeah. There's a pretty, Yeah, there's a story within it. I mean, it's a standard fantasy story, like, you know, oh, well, I'm going, you know, I don't really know how to use these powers, but, you know, I'm going to learn along the way, and, like, I have mentors and stuff. You start off with your girlfriend, maybe fiance, I'm not entirely sure, and you have to go off and take this test, and you go off to, I don't want to call it Hogwarts, but it's just this like castle where this like wizard lives, and you have to take a test.
And everything goes free Hogwarts.
Caffeine free Hogwarts.
And it's just like, of course, everything goes to hell during, you know, during your test, which AKA is also the tutorial. And but the wizard disappears, but he's still alive, and you have to go off and find him and learn more stuff. But until then, you have to like make your way through all the rubble and use these powers that you just got to move the rubble, to destroy other stuff. There's golems that are hanging out, so you have to destroy them, and it just keeps going like that, you know. I don't know, I mean, the controls, the tutorial was okay. I don't know if it particularly explained things well, in my opinion. Especially the fact that, like, because what you can do is not only can you create these soldiers, but you can destroy them as see fit, but you also lose some of the energy as you destroy them. And I didn't realize that. Yeah. So you have to be careful with, your resources and stuff. And I didn't quite get that. And during one of the boss battles, I got punished very badly because I thought, like, oh, I'll just call them back. And I only got part of my energy back. And so, like, by the end of it, I was, you know, a golem was completely killing me. And I had to restart the arena area.
So, basically, it's to prevent people from just, like, spamming it over and over and over.
Yeah, pretty Makes much.
Sense. But, Makes sense.
Yeah. And you do pick up other powers of, like, how you can command your army and, like, what else you can do with it. But... Right. As straightforward as it sounds, the puzzles do present a bit of a problem, like, especially, like, as you're trying to do some during, like, boss battles. It's not, it's a game you're going to want to play when you're, like, fully awake. This is not something you can just, like play late at night and, like, when you're, like, you just need something mindless to play. You need to be thinking about what you're looking at. And yeah, how you're
it requires your attention to play this. This isn't just, you know, put it on in the background and fuck around, right?
No, right. It's not something like Torchlight where you can just, I don't want to say mindlessly play it, but mindlessly play it. So.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So anything else? Any negatives about the game?
As I said, I thought the tutorial wasn't particularly thorough in explaining things. And I think there's a bit of a learning curve with it that, that early on, it's just like, it ramps up the difficulty pretty quickly, especially as you're trying to figure out how to use all these powers and what you can do with them and stuff.
Gotcha. So it's not necessarily something for newcomers of the genre.
Right. There's really no hand holding with this game.
Gotcha.
But I mean, I liked it. I'm definitely going to keep messing with it, but and you said it's what is it, $20?
Yep. So for $20, what is your verdict on it?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely check it out.
Cool. Sounds good. Jacob, always good having you on chatting. Do you have any final words for me or for the other people that you like to ignore?
I mean, does anybody else have any? Well, of course. Wait, Joe, you're probably the only one that played it, right?
I haven't played it yet. You're the one who reviewed it. How would I have played it? You reviewed it.
I thought you have a copy on your Xbox One.
No.
Oh, okay.
We got a copy to review.
Oh, I thought you had one too. Jeez.
You're a moron.
Whatever.
I was going to say, I don't think, yeah, I would check it out as one of our review criteria.
Wait, we have criteria?
Yeah, that's fair.
Technically buy it, try and deny it.
Yeah.
You guys are bad at this.
Yes, no one else pays attention. No one.
At the same time, I mean, like, the podcast has gone on for, like, 370 plus episodes. So, you know, Joe's doing something right.
No, I'm not.
I don't know. The only other thing is like, Completely unrelated. I found the Street Fighter Alpha anime movie not too long ago. Found it up on Vudu. I haven't seen that thing since high school. That movie has not aged well. Not that it was like any good beforehand, but damn, that thing sucks.
All right, those are your final words. Get out of here.
Exactly. All right, see ya.
Oh, Jacob is the worst, is he not?
I don't know. Is he really?
Yeah, he's pretty close to the worst, if not the worst.
I mean, you got to take into account to where the bar is set and how far below it he really is.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I know I set the bar really, really low, but he just, oh, man. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Dark Rose Valkyrie, developed by Idea Factory and Compile Heart, published by Idea Factory International, released April 10th on Steam for $39.99. Defend humanity from the Chimera virus as the new leader of Japan's covert military agency ACID in Dark Rose Valkyrie. Battle enemies in this real-time combat action-packed RPG and investigate your party members to find and expose the traitor within before it's too late. Dark Miko covered this one and wrote in her review, so let us see what she has to say. Sound good?
Yes. I am not the voice of Miko this week.
I know, I'm doing it this time, then Ian's going to do it even later on. But Dark Rose Valkyrie is a turn-based strategy RPG that has a strong visual novel touches to it. You play as Asahi? God damn, I'm going to struggle with names in this, aren't I? How many names are here? Okay, I don't see too many.
Better than me.
You play as Asahi, the newly appointed captain of the military squad referred to as the Valkyrie Squad. The squad is a group of seven other individuals like yourself who are able to use special Valkyrie system in order to fight Chimera monsters and the organization that's creating them. Oh yeah, you're a guy, and guys are really susceptible to becoming Chimeras, so the squad is mostly made of a bunch of cute girls. Imagine that. The game sometimes tries to be serious, but it's a harem comedy game, really. Bless you, Japanese games, you are all batshit insane. The combat has a very fluid TBS system to it. While your characters fight, everything is still moving towards, their own turn, which means monsters in the battle can attack you while you're attacking another one, instead of waiting turns. The system has a twist as well. Different moves take different amounts of time to launch, and they also last different amounts of time. You can launch a fast move that's one or two attacks, or a longer one that's upwards of 20 attacks long. Longer moves leave your character to stun the attacked monster for longer. However, it comes at the cost that you get less moves with that character at the same time. You also get to build your own combos, which is fun but difficult as hell. You can set up basic combos, which are easy to do, just throw shit together. However, each move can be moved, interesting, to create power moves that are better, and it's not exactly easy to do until you understand the system, but it gets there. The issue with combat is like all other Idea Factory games, they give you small blurbs about what different things do, just a few sentences long, and those are your amazing instructions. They impart these very complex, important concepts in like 3 to 5 sentences. You can guess how well that works sometimes. I honestly don't understand half the battle information still. Thankfully, the games are good at just letting you have ta-da moments. You figure out what the things do from playing the game because instructions are not that great. If you've played the Neptunia Rebirth games, this game is apparently similar in combat to those. I haven't played them yet myself, but that's what everyone kept telling me. You get missions in the game that you can go collect. Some of these are required to advance a story. Others are just to get some useful stuff. Missions are all time sensitive, but so far none of them have really been an issue. Like the last two I remember specifically had 46 and 52 days to complete the two of them. I did both in one with a lot of fucking about just because I could. Granted, I'm sure later the day constraints become much harsher, making it harder to do. I, however, really like the system. Which shocks me. I hate time constraints, but in the Idea Factory games, they do it really well, because you always have lots of time to get it done, and you're expected to do New Game Plus, which every game seems to have as well. The time constraints didn't feel tedious in the game like they do in a lot of others. The girls are cute. Oh, of course she mentions the girl. I am shocked that you would bring that up. Girls are cute, you have some minor customization for each character, including some outfits and accessories. And oh yeah, what kind of underwear they wear. Yep, thank you, Japan, you are fucked in the head, and I love you. Everything is fully voiced in English and Japanese. I don't know how well the English is, As I play in Japanese, it's always my preference. Music is good too. My only issue is the 6 gig of memory it says it needs. It needs on the highest settings. It often pulled 5, sometimes even the full 6 if it could, which is insane. Nothing about the game screams that it should require that much to run. No idea where it's all going. I'd like them to trim that down somehow because it's ridiculous. For $40, it's an RPG and it's a good one at that. You're definitely getting your money's worth. Just put almost everything on low or off in the graphics area because it's hard to tell the difference between high and low settings in most Idea Factory games. Sounds good. Sounds good, good, good. All right, next game to talk about is called RoboCraft Infinity. Developed and published by Free Jam, it released April 11th on Xbox One for $19.99, also launched as a part of Xbox Game Pass. Build, drive, fight, create fully customizable robots block by block that can drive, hover, walk, and fly in the multiplayer combat game RoboCraft Infinity. Equip weapons from the future and jump into the driving seat as you battle for supremacy in multiple 5v5 game modes against players from all across the world. Cole, tell us about this one.
You basically just explained it in a nutshell.
All right, so like $20.
There's not a lot beyond that.
Really? Nothing?
There really isn't. You have the option to build your mech. There are 5 available to start with that are pre-built. Or you can build your own. And it's literally like building a mech in Minecraft. You just have little cubes to work with, and they're all different shapes and sizes. However, they are locked behind progress. So you have some pretty minor ones to start with, but at least you have the different mechs to choose from. You can have anything from like a tank to a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And those are just the starter ones. So that's not even limiting it to, you know, what you can build. This is just, that's where they start you, is with a tank and a T-Rex. And you can basically build any kind of mech you want from there.
Out of curiosity, could you put the T-Rex on a tank?
You could. If you've got enough CPU points, you can do whatever you want.
That was a question everyone was dying to know.
Yeah. If you really want to, and on top of just, you know, building whatever you want, the goal is to actually weaponize what you build. So then once you build a T-Rex with all kinds of little laser shooters all over it, then you go online. And you actually battle it out with your mech. And this is where things get a little squirrely.
Oh, boy.
So there are 2 options for online. One is a 5v5 team deathmatch. The other is kind of like an arena mode. Kind of reminds you of Conquest from Battlefield, if you've played that. I'm not surprised. It's an objective mode, is basically what I'm trying to say. The goal ultimately is just to chip away at the other mechs, and you know, whoever gets the most points at the end wins. It's your classic online battle, team battle type play.
Fun story. I played in the beta for RoboCraft, and I don't know if it was just the people I was up against or if I was, you know, against bots that were labeled as humans, but I fucking wrecked everybody in the game. I had like 30 some kills and 0 deaths.
Yeah. I didn't have that kind of luck, but I'll get to that in a second.
And I'm awful at shooters.
You're awful. Yeah.
I was going to say, maybe you were just, either maybe it was bots, or maybe you were just in like the bottom bracket where it's like kids and like super casuals.
Maybe I was actually just playing against like horses.
But the when I loaded up to play, I got into a lobby really quickly. The wait time was only about, it kind of varied between 25 and 35 seconds or so. So it was pretty quick, all things considered. But the first couple games I played went fine. I was murdering people. I wasn't getting like insane amount of kills, but I was just using the standard T-Rex. I hadn't built anything because at this point I hadn't leveled up any and hadn't unlocked any of the cool stuff. So it was just like, I had the bare minimum and I was just going in and I had like 5 kills. Fine. I did okay. And also I went in a T-Rex and there were people with tanks just plowing me over. And it was fine. I still killed them. But the problem came around like the 4th or 5th game that I played where it started to disconnect me. Like, I noticed other people were getting disconnected from the server fairly quickly, and then I got kicked. And then when I went back in, it was like, this is your warning. If you quit in the match, it's no fun for anybody, and you'll get timed out
eventually. Oh, wow.
And so then I loaded again. There isn't
even, like, DC forgiveness.
And I got kicked. And I got kicked, and I got timed out. And then I couldn't play anymore. Mm. And it was just... I don't even remember how long it timed me out for. I was just so mad. I was like, this is bullshit.
So something's fucky with their disconnection detection.
If I had to guess what the issue is, I would say it's the Sea of Thieves curse in that they have far more people playing than they anticipated because of Game Pass.
Very, very possible.
And so their servers just were like, because, and I've mentioned before, like, I play this shit when I'm playing games, I play it like 6:30, 7:30 in the morning. So I was surprised to be finding people that easily that early. And then for the servers to just be like, we can't do this, I wasn't really surprised.
Okay, so you think it was an overload and not necessarily someone being suspiciously hacktastic?
I mean, somebody might have been hacktastic. Somebody might have been pissed because I was being pretty murderous. But I would think it's definitely server overload. Okay.
On console, I would definitely go server overload before hacky shit.
Yeah. It's just, far more likely that it's just like, we weren't expecting this many people. So yeah.
Being a cynical PC gamer, like, I would not put it past someone to try that shit as, like, a legit tactic. It's like, well, if I get them timed out enough times, they'll be banned from the match. And I win by default.
Yeah. But
there are assholes who'll do it.
To carry on from there, though, once you actually play a few and don't get kicked and timed out for it, you do earn experience points and you level up. And then you can get loot boxes. And this is the game's biggest downfall. Like, this is more problematic to me than the servers could ever be. And that's that.
From what I was told, all of the crates in the game are supposed to be cosmetic. Is that not the case?
No, I'm not done. Give me a second.
I'm trying to be fucking involved in my own show.
I was going to say, a lot of the reviews.
You level up and you unlock things. It just doesn't say, congratulations, you reached level 2. Here's a new type of block. It says, congratulations, you've reached level 2. Here's a loot box. And then you can get duplicates. So you get a lot of duplicates. Like, even just no further than I made it before I got fucking timed out. I had duplicates everywhere. I was just like, oh. Okay, what am I supposed to even do with these? There's no other way to acquire the different kinds of weapons and the different kind of building blocks other than to just level up and just sink time for days into this game to get anywhere. Or you
could take the shortcut and buy more loot boxes.
Well, that's just it. The loot boxes are only the cosmetic stuff. So the level up boxes are separate from the ones that you buy as microtransactions.
So it's entirely possible to level up and not get shit.
And not get jack shit.
Yeah. Wow.
So you could go against somebody. Then, of course, you go back into multiplayer and you're higher level. So you're going to get put against people who are higher level. But they might have got good shit and you didn't get anything. So then you're automatically in a tough spot. And then if you the whole game really premises on the need to play with teammates who you're communicating with, because there are tons of different mechs. Like I said before, there's the tanks and there's the T-Rexes, there's the walking mechs, there's even flying ones. So you need to be able to have a team that has built up in a way that you're going to, you know, be effective against whatever you go against. And there's no guarantee that you're even going to unlock shit or have shit unlocked that could have helped you anyway.
Gotcha.
There's not, like, you can't build yourself in a way where you can just confidently go into multiplayer and be like, this is going to work out.
Yeah. I mean, it's theoretically possible to get your ass handed to you by someone of a lower level just because they lucked out on the RNG.
They got a better drop. Yeah. Essentially. Oh
man, that's balls.
So, and I mean, you could put a ton of hours into it and still not get a decent weapon and have duplicates of like the beginning railguns and just be like, well, railguns for days, but they don't do you any good.
And you can't do anything with them. You can't redeem them into any kind of in-game currency or.
If you could, I couldn't find it. And I looked.
I'm not saying you know it's there or anything. I'm just asking. Like no, usually,
like if it was, I couldn't find it. But yeah. I am notorious for missing things in menus. So like I said, it could be there, and I just couldn't find it. But I certainly couldn't find it.
Yeah.
So I mean, if online play was a little more dependable and the ranking up was, you know, at least if you knew you were going to rank up and get a loot box. The RNG nature, okay, but at least the items you get should be comparable to the rank that you've earned.
Yeah. Because I took a quick glance at the reviews on Steam, and it looks like a common denominator between all of the negative reviews are the horrible imbalance in a lot of the multiplayer stuff.
Yeah.
So
otherwise, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed stomping around as a T-Rex, and people were really pissed when they realized that my standard T-Rex had extra cannons and shit on it.
am I allowed to ask you for $20? Am I allowed to ask you for $20? What's your verdict, or am I still not allowed to talk?
You're not allowed to talk, no.
Man,
fuck off, Joe.
Okay, so $20, what do you think?
I do give it a try. It is part of Game Pass. If you already have Game Pass, I'd say fuck it, why not?
Just well, I mean, if you have Game Pass, it's free, so...
Yeah, so that's an easy fuck it, why not? You may very well find that you are really good at building mechs, and then you can sell your mechs, and other people can buy them, and tear shit up with shit that you built. And that's pretty cool, as long as you're not getting timed out.
Yeah, I'm personally definitely more interested in... Oh, excuse me. In fighting with other people's mechs than making my own. I'm more about the doing, not the creating.
Yeah, it was the same way. I was like, I'm just going to take the T-Rex and then just put everything I unlock on it.
Well,
and I tore shit up.
Like I say, in that case, Joe, next time I come visit, because that sounds like something where I would love to make mechs, but I don't give a fuck about playing playing them. So
I'll come make them and
fight them.
Come on down.
Yeah, we'll have to set something up, man.
We're going to see Super Troopers tomorrow. Come on down tonight. Oh,
jeez. Dude, don't even fucking tempt me.
Fucking 420, man. Oh, wait, it's 421 when this releases, so 421, man. Next game to talk about is called Owlboy, developed and published by D-Pad Studio. It released April 10th on Xbox One and PS4 for $24.99, previously on PC and the Switch. Being a mute, Otis struggles living up to the expectations of owlhood. Things spiral from bad to worse with the sudden appearance of sky pirates. What follows is a journey through monster-infested ruins with unexpected encounters, well-kept secrets, and burdens no one should have to bear. Owlboy is the story of Otis, a mute boy living with owls. He seemingly disappoints the owl leadership at every turn, no matter what he does, and is the proverbial Rodney Dangerfield who never gets any respect. After the town's invaded by sky pirates who steal an all-powerful relic, shit kicks into gear and it's up to Otis to save the day despite always being looked at as, you know, worthless sack of shit. And the elders are like, oh, you fucking messed up again. You suck.
It's pretty terrible.
Hey, like Swizzlers, thanks for the bits.
If you have any kind of, like, problems with bullying...
Yeah.
The way the mentor treats Otis, like, the very first thing you do is go through a nightmare where he makes you go talk to everybody in the town, and then they torment you and tell you how awful you are.
Yeah, like, the first time I'm playing this game, I'm like, wow, this dude is an asshole. Why do I, like, and then I wake up, and everything is, like, normal, and he's still just an asshole to me. First off, I got to say the game is absolutely gorgeous. It has a beautiful hand-drawn look to it, but in more of a pixelated style. So if you like pixel art games, this one is sexy to look at. Music is awesome as well. Gameplay is your standard 2D action platforming with a smidge of Metroidvania goodness, but not nearly as much as I was expecting out of it. Heavy emphasis on verticality since Owlboy has a magical cape that allows him to fly like an owl. And he gets made fun of his inability to fly that well at the very beginning by the assholes in charge. The controls feel really good. It plays well. I do wish vertical movement was a bit faster, especially when you're carrying your friends. Given that Owlboy doesn't have too many attacks himself, he relies on friends he meets on his journey to be his firepower, whether it's, God, I forget their names.
Getty.
Alphonse. Getty with his fucking little pea shooter gun, and then Alphonse with the shotgun blast. Cacao. But yeah, you carry around your friends and they handle the attacking, kind of like a twin stick shooter from there. Areas are fairly linear for the most part. There may be some side hidden areas that you could explore or brief opportunities to branch out and explore a little bit, but it all kind of just funnels back into one direction. Either you'll explore that side area really quickly or you'll immediately hit a dead end. It felt a lot like East Origin, where it felt like it was going to be a lot more wide open than it really is, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
While you're exploring, you could find coins to collect and rings that you could fly through, which are also count as coins magically. Those can be collected.
They're coupons.
They're coupons? The rings coupons. Are coupons?
The rings are supposed to be coupons, and each ring gives you 3 cents off of your next purchase.
Nice. I did not realize that. And Tony, thank you for the bits as well, you badass motherfucker.
Why?
I know, we're getting all the biddies to refitty my shitty compitty. We're at over 6% now. We're getting there. We're going to make this shit happen. Anyway, while you're exploring and getting the coins and the coupons, those can be collected and exchanged to, I forget her name as well, a lady runs a shop.
Buccaneer.
What is it? Buccaneer?
Buccaneer. Like watch your yeah, mouth. Like Buccaneer mixed with Canary. Buccaneer. Yeah.
I don't know why I'm so bad with names in all these games anymore. I used to be good with names.
Fucking Harry, what?
Yeah, fucking Harry. but as you collect coins, as you hit certain thresholds, she'll exchange goodies with you. Like she'll give you, you know, soup that increases your life, or she'll give you a more powerful gun, or you can wear hats, stuff like that. Just always giving you reasons to explore back. The hard part is getting there. The linearity can be an issue when you're trying to redeem your rewards or get your rewards, because you could spend a stretch of an hour or 2 hours away from her shack, and there's really no way to, there's no fast travel to get there, or at least that I ran into. Just at the drop of a hat, you can't just teleport back and be like, here, let me give you this shit because I'm getting my ass kicked and I could use a little bit more health.
There's no fast travel and no map.
Yeah. Ooh. The lack of a map is
brutal.
It could be rough in some of the areas, especially when
there are little signposts that'll like point to which direction, but that doesn't really help much.
Yeah, especially when you're trying to go back and find stuff that you're like, ooh, I knew there was something here. How do I get back there? Fun stuff like that. Thankfully, though, the game does have frequent checkpoints, and if you do die, you respawn with full health. So dying is a fairly minor setback in the long run. And I did die a decent amount more than I expected to in this game. Some of the boss battles and some of the mini boss battles can be fairly rough, especially if you're not really sure how to handle it. Like the first time you go through the battle and you're trying to figure out how to hit them, how to hurt them, and it just like nothing clicks right away. And then you finally figure it out and you have like one hit left. So
yeah,
yay, respawning. And then there's also there's also like some stealth sections in the game that made me want to fucking punch a wall. Like I hate stealth sections. I really do.
Stealth sections can be great if they were done correctly.
Yeah, but when I'm playing
an
action platformer, I don't want to deal with stealth. It's like the Shantae Half Genie Hero having a stealth section in there. I didn't want to do that. I just want to beat people up. Let me kill things.
I think one of the most damning things about the stealth is that because Otis is, you know, normal character size, and then he's got a whole nother character on his legs that he's hanging on to, and so you have like double character models stacked on top of each other like that, and they take up so much space that you're just never sure where the fuck you've actually got them during the stealth missions anyway. You're just like, I think I'm behind these leaves, but I don't know for sure.
That's why I'll just drop my partner and fucking leave him there, because you have a teleport ability to get him back immediately. So just dump them somewhere easy, and when you need them back, just hit the trigger and voila, they're back. Game isn't a super, super huge game. You could probably get through it in about 8 to 10 hours. If you're a completionist and you want to get all of the coins, you could probably easily get 15 to 20 out of it. Overall, I think it is gorgeous. It is fun. It plays really well. There's only minor gripes that I have with it between, you know, the stealth sections and how hard it is to navigate some areas. But overall, I still think it's a pretty solid buy it.
Groovy.
Nice.
Next game to talk about is called Atomic Heist, developed and published by Live Aliens. It released April 20th on Xbox One and Steam for $10.99. Yesterday, we tracked the Rakan battleship Kriegan entering Bravo Quadrant. They attacked and overtook the Hyperion 6 station, seizing the Atomic Impulse Core. It is of utmost importance. We do not let that core get to Rokan hands. Your objective is to grab the core and get out before they can lock down the station. Cole, this sounds intense. What happened?
This is intense because it's a roguelite and it's fucking hard.
And there's the review.
Yeah. Sometimes the first sentence is really all you need. And so this is a 2D top-down roguelite, and it's not necessarily a dungeon crawler though, because you're in a spaceship and you are trying to leave this spaceship with the core that you have stolen back, because I can't pronounce the ones that start with an R, but essentially they wanted to create a doomsday weapon and you're stopping that. So you've got that core and you've got to get the fuck out in a roguelite type manner, which means if you die, bitch, you're starting on floor one of the spaceship again. Thankfully, though, it is randomly generated. So maybe thankfully, maybe not, depending on how you look at it. Like, you may think, oh, yeah, I got there last time, I'm going to be fine. And then you die and you come back and you're like, fuck, this doesn't look like it did before. good luck. Because it was like 3 or 4 deaths. And I was like, wait a second, this isn't the same. Because I'm kind of slow. That's okay. But it each floor, you have these narrow corridors that you can navigate through, and there's just a barrage of enemies on every floor. You have your little ship, you have your little starting ammo type, and as you progress, you can pick up different ammo types. You can pick up different power-ups to just make you shoot different ways, give you increased fire rate. For example, like the blue cubes always have an increased fire rate. So if you can find one somewhere in the level, you can help yourself out a little bit like that. Different ammo types affect the different enemies in different ways. Some of them just do not give a shit about splatter shots. No matter what you do, it's not going to take them down.
Splatter these notes.
Yeah. Well, can't splatter them. Maybe you can seeker them. I don't know. Or there's even an elastic shot that you can shoot at the walls and it will bounce its way around and whatever it hits. As long as it's not immune to the elastic shot, that's a thing. Which is really great. There's a lot of variety for the different ammo types that kind of like keep things interesting. Especially when you combine that with the, you know, random generated, you know, aspect of it, you're just like, you're not bored, even though you're constantly dying and having to replay level 1, 2, if you're lucky. You do eventually level up your ship in a way where you can back out to the main menu, start the whole thing over and get the core again, and actually upgrade your ship before you start the mission again. just do enough things right and you'll unlock extra ships. You can unlock different types of starting ammunition. So rather than having to find the seeker or the splatter or whatever you like best, is it obvious which ones I was a fan of? then, you know, rather than having to find those in the world to take out enemies, you can start with them. But, you do have to manage your ammo. I've never seen a twin stick shooter that made you manage your ammo like this one does. Because initially, you don't even have a HUD. You don't know how much ammo you've got. You don't know how much health you've got. Radiation is a factor in the world, and you don't know if it's affecting you if you don't have the HUD, unless your screen starts to turn blue, and then you're like, oh shit, there's radiation.
Oh god.
It's incredibly difficult. If you've leveled up a few times, you can use one of your upgrade slots for, you know, a HUD, but it kind of feels like a waste when there's other things that would be more beneficial. But you do have the ability to do not necessarily permanent upgrades. They're permanent unlocks, and you can choose a handful of them before you start each run.
Makes sense.
But you have to back all the way up. Like, if you just keep restarting from one, then you start with whatever you picked in the beginning, and that's that. You have to back all the way back out to the menu and start over and get the core again before you can change everything. One thing about this, as opposed to like regular dungeon crawlers, you don't have to kill every enemy, even though they're all there. They're not locked behind doors or anything. They're all out in the open.
That's blasphemy.
Everybody, yeah, you just want to like blow through everything really fucking fast, and you've got enough health, you can do it. Bye. Dude, there like is a downside to that, though. If you don't kill everybody,
66.
If you don't kill everybody, you don't get a power up on the next level. Oh. Each floor has a power up cube, and if you have killed everybody on the one before it, then you can park your ship there for just a second and choose an upgrade. If you didn't kill everybody, fuck you, no power up.
Get to stepping, motherfucker.
Yep, you're going to have to do it the hard way. Self-imposed hard mode. If you kill everybody, sometimes you will get lucky and shortcuts will appear. And you can skip a floor or two or five. It just will let you go. There are additional modes, which would be the daily challenge. And the daily challenge, a lot of games that have like a roguelite aspect, if they have a daily challenge, it's like, okay, here's your run. You have to do it a certain way, and you can keep trying over and over until you get it, right? Okay. No. You get one shot. And if you fuck up the daily challenge, there's a timer, and you're SOL until tomorrow.
Ah, man.
So get it right. Don't fuck up like I did.
Wow. That's a kick in the pills right there.
It really is. Like, if you had any kind of plans on getting through the daily challenge, and then you magically die because you picked up a bullet that has shrapnel, and you get caught in the area of effect, then, well, fuck you. See you tomorrow. Try again.
Mm. See you in 24 hours, pleb.
Yeah. You do to try to play a game you ain't no good at, bitch.
So this game is sounding pretty awesome. Are there any negatives to it, besides the difficulty, obviously?
Not really, other than the difficulty. Like, I wish it started you with a HUD and didn't make you manage ammo. One of the greatest things that drove me nuts was just like, I'm plowing through enemies. I'm going to kill everybody. I'm going to get my power up. There's four enemies left. I'm next to the portal to the next level. And click, click. I've got nothing. Switch weapon type. Click, click. Oh, no. I ran out of that last level. I'm
motherfucker.
Son of a bitch.
I'm not going anywhere. And then by the time you realize why you're clicking and not shooting, then by that point, they've already fucked you up. Nice. Back to level one.
Do you at least have enough ammo left to tell us what you think of this game for $11?
I give it a pretty solid buy it. I do. If you like roguelites at all, you're gonna have fun. It is just frustrating because it's so difficult. But that's half the fun of a roguelite, is learning to overcome it and just finding ways to break it. So I enjoyed it. And I might be bad, but I didn't hate it, so buy it.
Sounds good. Next game to talk about is called The Pillars of the Earth, Book 3, Eye of the Storm, developed and published by Daedalic Entertainment. Book 3 released March 30th on Xbox, PC, and PS4. The full game is $39.99 on console, $29.99 on Steam. Will Ilina and Jack be reunited? Will Kingsbridge be restored to its former glory? Will Shiring be freed from the tyranny of William Hamley? Will Philip survive Bishop Wallerin's? God, the names in this game. Jesus. Will Philip survive Bishop's final attempt to wipe him and his friends off the face of the earth? Play the epic conclusion of Ken Follett's The Pillars of the Earth. Dark Mika covered this one as well, and Ian, you're going to read this one.
Okay, so this is from Dark Mika.
Yep.
Oh. Okay.
Yes, you have to do a girly voice.
Nah. So, just as a preface, let's see. It looks like the full title is Ken Follett's The Pillars of the Earth, Book 3, Eye of the Storm.
Yes.
Not to be confused with Ken Follett's The Pillars of the Earth, Book 3, Eye of the Storm Turbo Super Hyper Alpha Impact Strike Champion Edition.
HD Remix.
Exactly. No, that's a different one. That's currently being worked on. Well, okay, anyways. Let's see. Ken Follett's The Pillars of the Earth, Book 3, Eye of the Storm is the last part to a point-and-click choose-your-own-story game that came out in installments. Now you can finally finish the story, or if you can, start it now, and you won't have to wait for the next one to be released. It's all out now. In this one, you still play as the main three people, Jack, Aliena, and Prior Philip. This, like the previous titles, has choices to make that affect the story. Granted, I don't feel like the choices matter as much in this one as it did in the previous ones. I think that's probably because this had a few specific endings written, and they had to direct you towards those few. It doesn't really bother me. Most of the choices were fairly small-seeming anyways, so that's fine. The first game I felt had the most important options, with each game having less and less important choices. All the previous game's choices still affect this game a lot, though, which is nice. They aren't pulling a Mass Effect 3 on us.
Yay!
Yay! Choose your color. Like the previous games, this game isn't exactly cheery. However, it at least moves towards cheery, looking at it in the horizon. This game is about the characters and their redemption. The first game was about fucking up. The second about being fucked up by others, and now it's full circle trying to repair the damages each character has caused or let happen. For Jack, it's building the church. For Aliena, it's finding Jack. For Prior Philip, it's about trying to make Kingsbridge whole and good again instead of letting it stagnate. This is all done over the backdrop of trying to figure out how to protect Kingsbridge, get back at some murdering bastards, and fulfilling quests that were embarked on in previous games. Oh yeah, and there's going to be some other hard times ahead. Nothing goes right for these fucking people, ever. The attempts at righting wrongs is what really sells this part for me. So much bad happened in the previous ones, but they want to right the wrongs they've committed to work towards redemption, not because they have to, but because they feel it's the right thing to do. It gives this story hope, something that's in very short supply in story at all times. Now, in case you missed previous reviews, here's the gist. It's all hand-drawn and looking very well done. Music is gorgeous. The story is well thought out and put together. Granted, it's based off a bunch of really good novels, so it really should be. Every character feels unique, and they share... and their stories gives you the feels. It costs $40 on PS4 and Xbox One, $30 on Steam. Why there's a difference in price, I don't know.
Because PC gaming.
Exactly. Each part of the story, each book, as they call it, is about 10 or so hours long. The art is great. I really dig the hand-drawn look to it. The story is enthralling, though a bit dry sometimes. The characters are unique, and each has their own perspective and reasoning. I think it's a total buy for any of the systems. And when you buy it, you get all three books, which make up the whole game. There's no DLC bullshit or anything. It's you buy it, and you get it. It's a buy it, and you get it deal, and I like it when people cut the bullshit.
Nice. Good stuff. I enjoy when people cut the bullshit as well. Yeah, it's weird, the whole console paying $10 more, but it seems to happen on nearly every game anymore, so it doesn't affect me. It is what it is. It's the console tax.
Yeah. It is becoming a regular thing.
Hey, same with Switch games. How many Switch games get full price releases over there? Or look at VR games. There's a VR tax, there's a Switch tax, there's a console tax. It just, that's how it is. Everything is more expensive.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got one final game to talk about tonight, and that is called BAFL Breaks Are for Losers, developed by Odidon, published by Playdius / Plugin Digital. It released April 19th on the Switch for $4.99. Baffle is all about pure arcade fun. Scooch together on the couch and gather up to 8 people playing on the same screen. Compete in championships, upgrade your cars, and break friendships. Baffle is an invitation to dive in state-of-the-art old-school epic racing game with no freaking breaks. As mentioned, this is a top-down racing game for up to 8 players, so if you've got those extra Joy-Con controllers, bust them out so everyone can play together. The game starts and you have the option to drive either towards the challenges or towards the races. In the races, you could pick from a 10-race cup, a quick race option, or custom cups. Quick race is pretty much you pick your car and then you just go race after race after race after race, and that's it. In the cups, you can also collect money during races, collect money after races, which allow you to buy upgrades to your speed, to your handling, to your armor, a couple other things. Armor is probably the most important because of how the game plays. Races start, and your only buttons are to steer and use turbo boosts. That's it. There's no brakes because, you know, the game is called Brakes Are for Losers.
All right,
so you don't have any.
So there's no form of deceleration whatsoever. Like, you can't coast. You are maintaining a set speed at all times.
There is no acceleration button to ease up on. The cars just accelerate on their own, and it's always full bore. And it's up to you to either handle the speed and handle around the courses, or just, you know, ride the walls, which you'll do quite a bit because, you know, some of the turns are sharper than you're able to do. Riding the walls might be an okay strategy, except for the fact that your cars have health, and any form of hit from other cars or weapons will hurt you, and also hurting you are the same walls that you are rubbing and riding against. They'll gradually wear down your hit points or your armor points, whatever they want to call them, and when it's empty, your car is DOA for a couple of seconds until it refills to halfway. You can also hit a pit stop during any of the laps you want to completely fill your health and your turbo boosts, but just because you enter the pit stop doesn't mean you'll get to stay there. There are 4 pit stop slots, 8 cars. So if you pull into a pit stop and another car pulls into a pit stop, they're bumping you to slot number 2. If a third car comes in, you get bumped to slot number 3 and the other one gets bumped. If you're in the 4th slot and another car comes in, you're out. It doesn't matter what your health is at. It doesn't matter if anything has been fixed or filled. I've already pulled into a pit stop, the first person, and within a second, I was bumped all the way out. So just because you get to the pit stop doesn't mean you're going to get your health back. Challenge mode is you by yourself on tracks aiming to get the best 5-lap time without hitting the walls, which is going to be a tough ask for many people. I personally have yet to earn any flags for a perfect race in the challenges, and I've barely gotten any of the timed flags. You could have, you know, it's kind of like 3 stars. They have 3 flags that you can earn. I've barely gotten any of the flags because of how tight some of those time goals are. You need to race flawlessly if you want to get any of those, between, you know, not touching the walls at all, getting the turns perfect, using shortcuts if there are any on the tracks, you got to be flawless to earn these challenge flags. Overall, it's a really cute, fun racer, great for parties for sure. The lack of any online mode does hurt it, but if you expect online playing a $5 game, that's kind of your own fucking fault. For having expectations like that. Normally I'd give the game a try, but given how cheap it is, this one is a definite fuck it, why not? It's fun, it's great with friends, and it's only $5, so fuck it, buy the game and play with your friends. Nice. But yeah, that is it. Those are all the reviews, that is all the news, that is everything we got to take care of tonight. Ian, thanks for hanging around for the episode and chatting with
us. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Jacob for coming by and pissing us off for however fucking long he was here.
As long as it took.
Should stab him. That'd be fun. Anyway.
So, yeah, the wistful sigh was worth the awkward silence.
But yeah, that is it for this episode. Cole, anything else you want to talk about before we wrap up?
I want to talk about how you thanked everybody but me
Well, because you're always here. You don't need the thanks. You got thanks when you were the guest.
Well, I want to be thanked now.
Well, Cole, thanks for being here on the show that you're normally on.
Yay.
You're welcome, Ian, anything else you want to talk about before we wrap up?
No.
Cool. So that is it for this episode. I think I'll play some Owlboy music. What do you think?
Yeah, go for it.
Reviewed the game, might as well play the music, right?
Yeah, might as well. Might as well.
Cool. So that is it. Ian, do you have any final words to end the show?
Three cocks in the ass.
Thank you.